This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking with Gene Abdella, who, Gene, you've been just about everything. You've been Highway Patrol. You've been, how long were you in the legislature?
12 years.
12 years in the legislature, and I remember, back with Bill Janklow, right?
Absolutely, yep. I was the superintendent of the Highway Patrol under Janklow for 5 years.
And the... See, Bill was Attorney General for a while, and...
Well, yeah, we were friends then, but I didn't work for him.
Well, let's go back to then, because I think he had you kind of reorganize the Highway Patrol back then, didn't he?
No, not really. We talked, and back then I was U.S. Marshal, so I stayed there, and then... When Clinton, President Clinton, got elected, he replaced all the marshals, and that's when I went with Bill as superintendent of the Highway Patrol.
Well, now, a couple of years ago, the budgets got cut a little bit of that. Have they kind of replaced that now?
That's kind of a sore subject with me, John. Governor Rounds took $2 million out of the public safety account, and the... In my opinion, the reason he took it out of there, it was the only place he could take it. The Department of Transportation controls the budget of the Highway Patrol and the Aeronautics Division. He took $2 million out of the public safety and almost immediately bought a $2 million airplane for the state, and that's what upset me. Because he could have taken that $2 million out of any other budget, except that wouldn't have allowed him to buy the airplane. And so we locked horns on that during my term in the legislature, during that two-year period. He maintained that it wouldn't hurt the public safety by taking $2 million out. However, shortly thereafter, he introduced a bill to put a dollar on every license plate, every car's license plate, to replace that money to the tune of $1.8 million. So he knew what he was doing.
Passing the buck, I guess.
I didn't care for it very much.
Okay. Well, that's politics, you know. But a lot of people don't realize we're standing on the shoulders of what... people like Janklow and former senators and that have done. The legislature that's in right now, how long have you been out of the legislature, I should
say? 2 years.
So the things that are going on right now, is there any of them that perk your interest? I know that there's talk about guns in schools. You're former
federal marshal. Well, they're talking about guns in school. They're talking about the repeal of the death penalty, which I'm totally opposed to. Mm-hmm. I'm pro-life, and my argument has been over the years in the legislature that when they wanted to repeal the death penalty, they have no problem with being pro-choice and innocent babies, but they want to protect and defend the rapists and the murderers and those types of people in the penitentiary. And to give the argument that it's not a deterrent is not an argument. We just recently saw where a corrections officer was murdered at the penitentiary. And in my experience in the federal system never had the death penalty until there was so many killing of correctional officers, other inmates, and other reasons, and the federal government installed the death penalty. Now the federal government has a death penalty, and we're talking about repealing it. That makes no sense to me.
Well, those that are in for life, I guess they have nothing to lose.
We experienced that in the federal system. I can remember two separate inmates serving life sentences in the Marion Federal Prison in Marion, Illinois. One of them killed a correctional officer and a inmate, and the other one killed a correctional officer and two inmates. And all you can do is stack life a sentence on top of the life sentence. And they used that for attempts to escape when they were hauling them back and forth to court and et cetera. So that's what prompted the federal government to come in with the death penalty.
And in your experience, did you see that that really did affect the people who, you know, would try to escape no matter what because they had nothing to lose?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The penitentiary, back when Sioux Falls first started, they had the option, you've heard the story, the option of either having a university or a penitentiary, and they chose the penitentiary because they knew that would be immediate jobs. But actually, the South Dakota Penitentiary is a large employer here in Sioux Falls.
It is a large employer, and unfortunately, they're underpaid. I don't know as you could give me enough money to work up there. That's a correctional officer up there in the penitentiary, to me, is like doing time. They're locked up there. That's one job I'd never want.
Well, the criminal system in South Dakota, you were a federal marshal, you were with the Highway Patrol, now you're working with the Attorney General.
Part-time.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for Marty Jackley?
Well, actually, it's Marty Jackley and the U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson. I've been coordinating training, federal, state, and local training throughout the state. We had a training seminar in November. We had over 250 officers for a two-day seminar. One whole day was human trafficking, and the other day was prescription drug abuse. We had people come in from the drug companies and explain how they abuse drugs, prescription drugs, how they acquire them, and it was a very, very successful seminar.
Human trafficking, some people say, well, we didn't used to hear about that. That's something new. But I can remember, you know, I'm so old I don't have tattoos, but I remember my mother talking about people bringing in fresh ladies for the farm show.
Farm show, hunting season. Hunting season's a big deal in South Dakota for human trafficking. We all know about Deadwood. In years past, there were four brothels in Deadwood for many, many, many years. And whenever there was a complaint from a citizen about the Deadwood brothels, they'd close them up and they'd get a $25 fine and they'd be back in business. Fortunately, or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, back in the, I believe, late 70s, Pam's Purple Door got so much notoriety, but they took her on income tax evasion, and she tortured the prostitutes not to testify against her, and ultimately she was convicted, and I had the pleasure of hauling her off to the federal penitentiary for 10 years.
Well, it's not your grandma's brothel now today. Gene, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Gene Abdullah. There's a danger.
Very, very dangerous. Those pimps, they beat those prostitutes, they torture them, kill them. And it's going on nationwide, and it's a big deal. There's a lot of money in it for the pimps, and so consequently, they keep doing it. Fortunately, in South Dakota, Brendan Johnson, the U.S. attorney, has made that a priority, and I'm not too sure that the U.S. attorneys throughout the country have not made it a priority, but he's prosecuted several pimps, and they've received lengthy sentences in the penitentiary.
Well, Brendan has been doing, I think, in my opinion, an excellent job as a U.S. attorney. And, you know, a lot of people wanted him to run for his dad's office.
Yeah.
But he really is passionate and serious about trying to accomplish what he's already got started as in the, you know, his office.
I totally agree with you, John. He's very passionate about that job, and he's very serious about it. And He's doing an excellent job.
The U.S. attorney lost money during the sequestration. Did they ever get any of that back yet?
He is operating on a minimum budget. I know that because we've talked a couple times that he doesn't have the money because he wants to expand this training. Human trafficking, for example, statewide, the law enforcement really hasn't had that much experience with it. And so he wanted to expand the training on human trafficking, expand training on the prescription drug abuse and other areas. But he still has a very small budget.
Well, Gene, I can remember when the biggest thing in Sioux Falls was sneaking some Coors out of Colorado.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different today with the crack cocaine. That's very scary. Crack cocaine, people can get involved with that even without knowing it. People can slip it to them and they're hooked.
Law enforcement in South Dakota and the Attorney General are totally aware of that. And plus, I think you just saw recently in the Argus that the cough syrup problem with
Justin Bieber was talking about taking some of that, where they mix it with pop and other
things. There's so many ways that they can abuse themselves and get around the legality of drugs. But now we got Colorado and Washington State legalizing marijuana, and there's talk. There's going to be a bill in the legislature to legalize it here, I heard, and boy, I would be totally opposed to that.
You've seen it as an entry. Well, people that are addicted to addictions, I guess, in a sense, they're going to take one thing or another.
Well, the usual pattern is they start with marijuana and graduate into methamphetamine and heroin and cocaine and all the other drugs. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen in Colorado and Washington down the road when these people get addicted to that stuff. And what it's gonna, they're talking about how much revenue it's going to bring in taxes. And I want to see how much it's going to cost the states for treatment. And anybody that's addicted to drugs is going to commit crimes.
Well, even in the old Wild West, we had opium dens with the railroad workers and that type of thing. I mean, the more we know, the more we don't know, I guess, or the more we learn, the more we don't learn.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm anxious to see what it's going to cost those states for treatment and for crimes. And, how many of our crimes are committed in South Dakota as a result of drugs? I mean, every time you see where somebody, not every time, but most of the time you see where somebody's arrested for some sort of crime, they're on drugs or they have drugs in their possession. And with the diversity that we have now in Sioux Falls and other parts of South Dakota, they have to have an interpreter paid for by the county or the state. They have to have court-appointed attorneys paid for by the county and the state. I don't think anybody's smart enough to figure out how much that affects our state taxes and budget.
Well, rehab for an alcoholic is one thing, but rehab for somebody on crack cocaine is tremendously more expensive than you.
Absolutely. And I know that, for example, right here in the jail, in Minnehaha County Jail, they have a huge expense on meth mouth. Where they have to fix their teeth. The way the laws are set up, when you go to jail, regardless of what condition you're in prior to going to jail, when you go to jail, they got to fix all that stuff at taxpayers' expense.
Yeah, dentistry is not something that most people can get very easy on their insurance or anything else.
No, and that runs up the bill in the budget for the county.
Well, speaking with Gene Abdullah, who I've known you, Gene, for a long time. Going back to when you were with Governor Janklow, I guess back in those days, we had an airplane land in South Dakota full of marijuana.
Yeah.
Were you with the Highway Patrol or the Federal Marshals back then?
I was with the Marshals, and that happened up in Casca.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you an example, when I was with the patrol, we got a twin-engine airplane, a Cessna twin-engine from government surplus that belonged to Pablo Escobar. And so there, you know, the federal government has, that's a good law on the seizure law, that we can recover some of the expense on drug cases. When I was marshal, probably in office 6 months, the biggest thing that happened in South Dakota was a raid in Pringle, South Dakota, where we seized three ranches and a house in Deadwood and a lot of personal property that was put together by seven people from Kansas. They come out here, bought these three ranches that were so far remote from anything, and they set up a meth lab. And I spent 2 weeks in Pringle in Custer, South Dakota, cleaning that deal up.
Now meth labs could be your neighbor in your apartment complex.
You can have it in your car.
How do you know if they used to be able to kind of, you know, they would say there's kind of a sweet, surfy smell, but they don't even do that anymore.
We passed the law in the legislature that any house where a meth lab was present, before it could be sold, it had to be refurbished, and I mean down to the replacing the drywall and everything. That meth gets into a house or any kind of a establishment, it just, the results are just horrible. So, I mean, if it does that to a house, it does that to the walls and the furniture, think of what it's doing to the human body.
Well, getting back to that airplane that landed, that was like a DC-9 full of marijuana back in the Janklow days. Whatever happened to that plane? I know they burned the marijuana, I believe, right?
Well, I'm sure the plane was seized and sold.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back now to, we were talking about human trafficking. I guess I got off the track a little bit, but what I'm learning, and I used to talk about prostitution on this program and get a lot of harassment, because people didn't want us to talk about it. People didn't want us to admit that we had a problem.
It's a fact, and it's out there, and it's big.
Well, now, what I've been reading is that there's a lot of the motorcycle gangs, the Diablos, the Hells Angels, coming up through the Indian reservations on their way to Sturgis. And the South Dakota tourism, you know, has a different meaning to them.
Well, John, I worked 22 rallies over the years, and I still go. The fellow that replaced me as superintendent of the Highway Patrol and has since retired, he and I go out there every year, kind of more out of habit. This year was my 32nd year out there. But as a credit to law enforcement, mainly law enforcement, when I started going out there to the rally, to work in the rally, we had all those outlaw gangs, the Hells Angels, the Bandidos, the Sons of Silence, a lot of them. And because of law enforcement that stuck with it and stayed on it, you don't see hardly any of those gangs anymore at the rally. In fact, the old-timers call it now, they call it the trailer rally, because a lot of people go out there, trailer their bikes out, ride them through the hills, put them back in the trailer, and come home. Now, that being said, it's also a good thing for the rally, because they go out there, they stay in a motel, they eat steaks, they have a cocktail, they buy souvenirs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The gang members will come out there. I always exaggerated and said they bring a ring of bologna and a loaf of bread and they sleep on the ground and they contribute nothing to the economy of the state other than they end up in court and ties up the courts and that's why they call themselves the one percenters, because 1% of those people cause all the problems. And now we don't see them like we used to.
They are connected to the prostitution, I think, that comes in, though.
Prostitution, drugs, loan sharking. The Hells Angels at one time were the second biggest organized crime unit in the United States. Now, I don't know if that's still true with all the drug cartels and stuff, but the Hells Angels are very organized. They've got a lot of legitimate businesses. They own property in downtown Sturgis. They own property on the rural Sturgis. They set up their leather shops and everything else. So they have a large income, plus a legal income, plus what they do on the side.
Well, now we have Russians back in Minneapolis. Their biggest prostitution rings there are Sudanese. They're raising money to send back to their crime lords, you might say. So I guess
now you think of the Sudanese, they can't speak English, most of them. Mm-hmm. So they get an interpreter when they get arrested. They get a court-appointed attorney. How, what kind of a burden does that put on the county?
Well, law enforcement is evolving. It's changing. What would you say to someone who wants to say, I want to be a highway patrolman, I want to be a federal marshal, I want to get into law enforcement? What would you say to a young person today?
Well, you're never going to get rich, number one. It's a rewarding position as far as helping people and excitement. You never do the same thing 2 days in a row. I've got a son that's a chief deputy marshal, U.S. Marshal in Oklahoma, and he's getting ready to retire, and that tells me how old I am. But when he was going to college at USD, he worked part-time at the Minnehaha Jail. It was a perfect deal for him, got some spending money in that. Well, then he graduated, and he went on as a deputy sheriff. And I said, why are you going to stay there? And he said, well, yeah. I said, if you're going to stay in law enforcement, get into the federal system, you can see the country and it pays better. And that's what he did. I never try and discourage anybody for going to law enforcement because they know what the pay is. And if they're willing to work for that, it's a rewarding career. It's dangerous. Trooper Steen was run over here a year or so ago. That's part of the deal, I guess.
Well, you watch the TV show Cops. Is it really like that?
Some of it is in the big cities, yeah.
Like we were talking about before, everything you see on Cops is drug-related.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Well, Gene Abdella, is retirement what you thought it was going to be?
No.
You never really retire, do you?
No. I'm looking for another part-time job.
Well, Gene, I see you quite often at the VFW. You were in the service.
I was in the Guard.
In the Guard, okay.
8 years.
8 years. So 12 years in the legislature and federal marshal for how long?
12 years.
12 years, too, okay.
Deputy sheriff for 8.
Well, it's... Being a deputy sheriff today isn't what it was back when you were.
You know, John, I was a deputy sheriff of Minnehaha County, the biggest county in the state, for 8 years. I can count on one hand, just about, the prisoners that we handcuffed. Even the criminal had respect for law enforcement back then. Now, if you get them for double parking or jaywalking, you got to handcuff them because they'll turn on you. So, yeah, it's really changed over the years.
We've had quite a few pedestrian accidents in Sioux Falls. If you ask any officer in Sioux Falls, they would say, why don't you enforce the speed limit? Everybody seems to go, you know, I live on 18th and Sycamore, and people drive twice the speed limit through Frank Olson Park all the time. And the most people would say, well, there's too many cars. We can't enforce it.
I'm more concerned about the people driving through red lights.
They do that more now.
I see it every day. I saw it on the way down here today, this morning. If you're in the middle of the intersection or right at the end of the intersection and the light turns orange, I can understand that. But when you stop and somebody behind you goes through the light, that's dangerous, because if you have a T-bone accident, somebody's going to get really hurt.
Yeah, like I say, on 18th and Sycamore, that's Frank Olson Park, and you're driving right through the middle of a park, but yet people think they can go 35, 40 miles an hour.
I don't understand this pedestrian thing the way it's, maybe it's just a fluke, but the paper said today there's been 3 pedestrians in 3 months. I don't get it.
Well, slow down.
Yeah.
Gene, what would you, like I say, for young people today, the criminal system, it still works.
Absolutely. That's the best there is. I read the paper here a week or two ago about the DUIs in the state, and something's got to be done about the DUIs, and we got to have tougher laws. In my 12 years in the legislature, most of the bills that I proposed and prime sponsored were DUI bills. You don't need more laws. There's enough DUI laws on the books. They got to be enforced, and they got to be punished. We repealed the implied consent law, 4 or 5 years ago. Up until then, and way back, if you were suspected of drunk driving and the officer asked you for a blood test, you could refuse. And the penalty was that you'd lose your license for a year, but that was not really true, because if you went up and pled guilty later on, you could get your license back. We repealed the implied consent law, and now they can take your blood when you're suspected of drunk driving. They can forcibly take your blood. I introduced a bill on the 4th or subsequent conviction of DUI that the penalties double. That passed. We passed all those. There's enough laws on the books. They just got to be enforced. And I know the big concern is jail space. But, Minnehaha County is victim. The taxpayers are victim of a law. That's a state law when you violate on drunk driving 3rd or more offenses. And sometimes the judge will put them in jail instead of in the penitentiary. It's a felony after the 3rd offense, which means you go to the penitentiary. You can go to the penitentiary. But sometimes the judges will give them 6 months or 90 days in the county jail. The taxpayers of the county are paying that at the tune of about $70 a day when they should be in the penitentiary.
A lot of people don't make $70 a day.
I don't.
Got 1 minute left, Gene. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to say that I want to thank the people of South Dakota for the opportunities I've had for the 12 years in the legislature. I enjoyed it. People ask me if I miss it. I miss the people that I worked with. I don't miss driving back and forth to Pierre every week. I figured it out the other day, between the Highway Patrol and the legislature, I have driven to Pierre and back more than 1,000 times. And I think that's enough for anybody.
That's a few times around the world.
Yeah.
Well, Gene Abdella, the main thing is that Sioux Falls is a good place to live, and South Dakota is a good state to be in.
It is a good place to live, and I'm not leaving.
All right. And what do you say about retirement?
I need another job.
Okay. Gene Abdella, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks,
on board.
John.
Thank you.